And we do find one answer, because we ask this at Christmas time every year. Why did Jesus come? Why do we celebrate the birth of this little person? What's so special about his birth compared to other people? And we have one answer from the mouth of Jesus. And this is John chapter 18. This is, just to give you a little context, we'll look at verse 37 and 38. But Jesus is before Pilate, and some of the little people didn't know who Pilate was, so maybe you're in the same boat. Pilate was a Roman official, and Jesus was brought before him for questioning. And the Jewish leaders were hoping that he would sentence Jesus to death. And so as Jesus is brought before Pilate, with the charge being that he was a king, he was a king of the Jews. Now, this would have been insulting for, there's only one king, right? There's Caesar. And so we sing songs, don't we? About Jesus being a little king, who's born a king. Right? Hark, the heralds, angels sing. What's the next line? Glory to the newborn king. Well, that could be threatening to some. And so that was a charge that was laid at Jesus' feet, and Pilate asked him a question. And so as he's questioning Jesus, we get an answer. Jesus says his kingdom is not of this world, just in this context. And he goes on, and in verse 37, Pilate said, "So you are a king." Jesus had just told him, my kingdom is not of this world. It's of another world. And so we're not fighting. This is why my followers are not fighting, because my kingdom is not of this realm. "So you are a king." And Jesus said, "You say that I am king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Pilate was obviously from our time, wasn't he? What is truth? He doesn't like Jesus' answer, does he? Would it have come into your mind if someone had said, "Why has Jesus come into this world?" Would you have said, "He came to tell the truth"? Is that the first thing that would have come into your mind? And this is not an insignificant answer, because Jesus is about to die. He's standing on the doorway of his own crucifixion. And so when you approach the end of life, you begin to think about the purpose of your life and the meaning. And Jesus is saying in one sentence here, "This is why I came. This is the purpose for which I came into this world." And it's what? "I came to bear witness to the truth. I came to tell you the truth." So evidently for Jesus, the truth is very, very important. It is also objective. The truth that Jesus comes to tell is something that is outside of us, something that we would not have otherwise known except he had come and told us. So this is important. If this is the summary sentence that Jesus offers before Pilate in his last days, "I have come to bear witness to the truth," then Pilate's question is great, isn't it? It depends on the tone of voice, right? What is truth? What does that mean? I'm not even interested in your answer. There's not going to be any truth. There's no truth. There's no way we can find the answer to that question. Or I could say it another way. Well, what is truth? And then we ask the question, well, what's the content? What belongs in that category of truth? What did Jesus come to say? So that's what I would like for us to spend just a few minutes thinking about this morning. What is it that Jesus came to say? And if you have your Bible, flip now to John chapter 8, because this is another instance when Jesus faced death. He was telling people the truth, and they did not like it. The Jews did not like it. So flip back to John chapter 8, and I just want to give you a few sentences that Jesus says, which is staggering in the impact of what he says. So first look at verse 40, and you'll see why I made the connection between what he says before Pilate and what he says right now. Look at verse 40. Now you seek to kill a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. They were ready to kill Jesus because of the things that Jesus had been saying. And he said, I'm standing here telling you the truth and you want to kill me? You're angry enough to kill me because I'm telling you the truth? So the question is, what got him so ticked off? What was it that Jesus said that caused them to be so angry they literally wanted to kill him? And there's a few things. First of all, Jesus was sent by God and he spoke only the words of God. That's what he said. Now, you just put yourself in the context of the Jews here who are listening to Jesus speak and look at verse 16. Jesus says, even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Now from that, I just want you to hear Jesus saying with his own mouth, the Father sent me. I am sent by God, and the judgments that I make are not mine alone. They're informed by God the Father. So I'm sent by God. I'm making judgments here, and they're informed by God the Father. And then in verse 8:42, Jesus says, I came from God, and at the end, I came not of my own accord. I didn't come here because I wanted to come here. I came because he sent me. God sent me. So Jesus is saying, I have been sent by the Father. I'm doing something that he has asked me to do. And in verse 8:26, he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. So Jesus is saying, I am telling you only what I have heard God the Father say. Jesus is claiming to be speaking the very words of God. Now, have you ever met anyone who has said that to you? I have a word for you, and this is what God wants you to do. Has that ever happened? Well, if somebody has ever said that to you, raise your hand. A couple of you have, okay. How do you feel when somebody says that?
Skeptical.
Skeptical. That's exactly right. So do you sense what's going on in the hearts of these people? What are you saying? They're trying to get their head around the claims that Jesus is making. And in verse 28, Jesus goes on and he says, I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. And in verse 29, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I do nothing on my own authority. If I'm standing in the crowd, I'm going, really? Are you serious? Remember, these are the words of Jesus. He says, I speak just as the Father taught me, and I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Meaning everything I'm telling you is from God the Father. This is exactly what God wants you to hear. He is true. He has sent me, and I have come to speak to you. Now, either this is not true, the things that Jesus is saying, or it is true. And if it's true, what does this mean? So keep wrestling here as we listen to some of the other things that Jesus says. So first of all, he said, God sent me. I did not come here of my own accord. I came here because he sent me, and everything that I'm saying to you are the very words of God. That's the first thing this chapter says. Secondly, he also says that it is only through himself that one can know God. Look at verse 19. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Meaning, to know me is to know God. If you know me, if you really know who I am, it's the same thing as knowing God the Father. That's amazing. That's an amazing, amazing claim. It's either true or it's not. And look at verse 55. He says, you have not known God, but I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar just like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Jesus says, I know God the Father, I know him, and if I ever said I didn't know him, I would be lying to you. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling you, I know him. And if you know me, you know God the Father. Absolutely astounding. If that's not true, you can see why people get angry. The third thing Jesus says is, he says that we are enslaved to sin. The people to whom he's speaking to Israel, Jewish people who are devout and religious. And I want to read a few verses so that you get the full import of what he's saying. He says, the natural state of all humanity is one of enslavement and not freedom. You're not truly and completely free. Now, they don't know this. They don't understand it. Look at verse 31. I'll read 31 to 35. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we will become free? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. Meaning, if you practice sin, if you make a lifestyle of habitually practicing sin, you're enslaved to it. If you commit sin, it has dominance over you, and you're caught into this slavery. You're enslaved to sin. Only the people who the son set free are free indeed. That's what he's saying. That's the fourth thing. He's saying, only those who I set free, who the Son sets free, is going to be free. That's it. Look at verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. So they don't understand. We're not enslaved to anyone. We're children of Abraham. What are you talking about? And he says, only those whom I set free, whom the Son sets free, you're the only ones who are truly free. And they don't get it. And what else does he say? He keeps going. And the summary statement is, it's possible to think that you are a child of God and truly not be a child of God. This is verses 38 to 44. He says, I speak of what I have seen from my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Again, Jesus saying, I'm only telling you what I have heard from God. So I'm relaying a message to you. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. That's who we're followers of. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. That's not what Abraham did. You're doing the works of your father, what he did. And they said, we're not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. This probably means we have a mother and the father, unlike you, Jesus. We know the story of your birth. We heard about your mother, how she was pregnant before Joseph ever got onto the scene. It's probably a dig at Jesus' parentage. We're not born of sexual immorality like you were, you born out of wedlock guy. So that's what they're doing. And so Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. So why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot hear my word. 44, you are of your father, the devil. They thought Abraham was their father, even claiming that God is their very father. And yet Jesus says, how you treat me truly indicates who your father is. If God were your father, you would love me. Now, if you don't like Jesus, that's really offensive. If you can't stand what you're hearing Jesus saying in this moment, you get very angry. Very, very angry. Especially when you hear him say, your dad's the devil. Can't you see some pious Jews picking up rocks? What are you talking about, my father? My father's not the devil. You get angry if somebody tells you that. And yet Jesus is saying to us, it's possible for you to think you are a child of God and be on the opposite page and be a child of the devil. This is the truth of what Jesus is saying, or it's not. Remember, this is what Jesus said. I have come to tell the truth. And then he goes on and he says, look at verse 12. Everyone who follows my words is going to have eternal life. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means eternal life. It means you'll see to have your way embracing life. You'll see to have life. There'll be enough light for you to see what truly is life. That's what he's saying. And he says again in verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And again, amazing thing to say. Is that true? Anyone who keeps my word will never see death? Death will never have ultimate victory over you if you keep my word? That's amazing. And then he says, if you fail to believe in me, you will die. Look at verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe I am he, what is that? It's I am. It's God. Unless you believe I am the Messiah, the one sent from God, the one that God has ordained and put his hand on and anointed with his spirit, unless you believe that I am the chosen one, you will die in your sins. Meaning your sins will not have atonement. There will be no atonement for your sins if you fail to believe in me. That's unbelievable if it's not true. And if it is true, do you see why they got so angry they were ready to kill him? So Jesus is saying, I came to tell you the truth. And these are the things that you need to know. These are the truths that will, if we speak them, in some sectors, get you killed. If you say these kinds of things about Jesus, you could be facing death just like he was facing death because he said them. So let me read them one more time. What did Jesus say? He said he was sent by God, and all of the words that he spoke were God's words. He also said that only through him can we truly know God. Only through Jesus. He also said that humanity is enslaved to sin apart from him and in desperate need of freedom. He also said freedom only comes through him. And then he said it's possible to think you are a child of God and actually be a child of the devil. And then he said, if you obey my commands, you will have eternal life. And finally, he said, if you fail to believe in me, that I am the chosen one of God, you will die in your sins. And there will be no atonement for your sins, and you will be left to bear the consequences of your own sins. That's what Jesus said. That's the truth that Jesus spoke. If we say those things, what will be the response? And yet Jesus, at the end of his life, said, I came into this world to tell the truth. I came to bear witness to the truth. I came to tell you the truth. And that is the truth. That's why Jesus came. That was the purpose of his life, is to say these kinds of things, because we wouldn't know them completely and fully as he explained them. We wouldn't fully know God without we met Jesus. We know partially, we get a picture of him, but not the fullest picture. So Jesus comes to show us all of who God is. He comes to reveal this kind of truth that I, being chosen by God, have now become salvation or not if you reject me. If that's the purpose of Jesus, should that not be our purpose as well? And Jesus also warned his disciples and said, if the world hated me, it's also going to hate you. If you say these kinds of things, the world's going to hate you. But that does not mean that we should not say them. We should say them in love. And we should ask the question, just like Pilate, what's truth? Not, oh, what's truth? It all depends on how you say it. And what did Pilate do after he said that? I didn't read the next couple of verses in chapter 18, but you could read it. He didn't wait for an answer, did he? He turned and he walked away. He said, "Jesus, what's truth?" And then he goes out and he addresses the crowd. And he said, I don't think there's anything wrong with this guy. Nothing worthy of death. But you guys want to kill him, so have your way. That's what he said. So what is truth? The purpose, Jesus, the little baby who was born to come into this world, came to tell these kinds of things, the truth. And if this is true, this is eternally true, because Jesus is talking about eternal things, not a kind of relativism that says, well, if that can be true for you guys, and it's not true for me, and that's okay, so let's get along and be happy. That cannot be true. That is a lie. So as we celebrate Christmas and we think about the truth, may we have the courage that Jesus had in order to speak the truth in love, to speak these kinds of words in love, and to say what Jesus said in a way that the world will hear. Because if all the world celebrates Christmas and thinks that Jesus is forever in the manger, I mean, he's forever the baby, right? If that's all the picture that we have of Jesus, we're missing the sacrificial atoning death and victorious resurrection of who Jesus is. So this is part of the story. So let's tell the story. Let's tell the story of Jesus' life. Let's not neglect to say what the ultimate fulfillment of this celebration is all about. So, Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday to Jesus, because in the coming, in the flesh and bone, man of God, son of God, the only chosen one, he began to effect our salvation. And he was perfectly obedient throughout his days. Perfectly obedient. Parents, how many of you yearn for perfectly obedient children? I'm still on the cusp. I'm praying that during the teen years, that my little people will continue to obey the Lord. But if you're a teen and you've failed, Jesus never did. So put your faith in him. Parents, you remember those days. We've all failed. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus. He is our hope and trust. And he is the chosen one, the only one, the Son of God who came to effect our salvation. And that's a great gift. That's worth celebrating. It's worth singing for. So let's pray and thank him for what he did. And I pray that you know Jesus. I don't know your hearts, but everybody here, I pray that your faith is in him and in all that he did, resting in his righteousness and in his power and in his glory and in the ability through his Spirit to tell the world these truths, because this is truth. May God give us grace to say these things in ways that God can effect new birth, because that's what's needed through his Spirit. Let's pray together. Jesus, we stand in awe of all that you have done. Thank you for this sentence to Pilate, that you came into the world to tell the truth. Evidently, nobody else was telling the truth. The world needed to hear the truth. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking the truth. May you give us the ability to speak the truth also. May we celebrate rightly. May we honor you rightly by obeying your commands. And I pray that you would fill our hearts with love this Christmas. Love enough that we might tell the truth to people. So give us the courage of your Spirit, the strength of your Spirit, not to shy away from hard truths in the conversations that will come up. May we glorify you to the highest degree. And may we experience the full joy that you said you desired for your disciples. You came that we might have life, have it abundantly. You came that we might have joy. You came to give us peace. There are many reasons why you came into this earth. But today we see that truth and telling the truth is one of them. So may every little child that listened get that. May every adult hear that. And may we remember that the truth was what was on your mind in the final moments of your life. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.